And a good afternoon to you. Thank you for being on board on a Friday afternoon. And it's everything that Friday afternoons hold in the summertime in the mountains. Thunderstorms, lightning, torrential downpours, wrecks, traffic jams. But other than that, it's a pretty good afternoon. All right, let's talk about the trouble spots. Then there's a bunch of them. Let's start out with the wrecks. We have a wreck on I-40. This would be westbound, and it is at the interchange. Well, let me say it again. That's 25A. So that it's right on top of the where it crosses 25. So Hendersonville Highway, Hendersonville Road, where it runs under I-40 coming out of Biltmore. There's a wreck there on the bridge. It has traffic backed up all the way back to the Sweeten Creek exit. So it is almost stopped, okay? If it's not stopped, it's almost stopped. The other way, I don't know why it's affecting it where it is, but going the other direction, just past the wreck, you've got problems all the way up through there by the old Fun Depot, going eastbound I-40. But again, I don't know what the associations are. I'm showing another wreck, but I don't see it. I mean, I'm showing it, but I don't see it. I don't see the aftermath of it in the stretch of I-40 in Biltmore Forest. That's very possible that icon's in the wrong place. It may be on the other side of 40 there, what that other traffic jam is about. That is possible, okay? Let's go to the north of town. We have a wreck. Well, we've actually had two. We've now got one on the bridge. This would be I-26 eastbound. So it's coming out of Asheville on the bridge. There was one just a minute ago. It was in the westbound side. Well, let me look at this. It was just, as you leave Asheville, going, I call it north, I-26 east and west. All the way up to the Botanical Gardens exit, UNC Asheville exit. It is a parking lot through there. That whole section is just about stopped, and it looks that no one can go anywhere. Traffic is backed up from the bridge. Looks like there is a wreck on the Captain Jeff Bourne Bridge, and it is backed up all the way through the city of Asheville under Town Mountain Road into the Bowcatcher Cut. Coming into Asheville, people are trying to go through Asheville to go on up 26 to Tennessee. Well, they're now backed up past Haywood Road, trying to get up on the bridge to get across five lanes of traffic to get in the left lane to go up toward UNCA, and that's not happening. And so basically everything's a standstill. So the whole interchange right there, the I-26 240 interchange, is in a state of parking lot this afternoon. I-40 trying to come off of I-26 and go west on I-40 is just about completely stopped. It is touch and go from there, exit 44, which is Smoky Park Highway, all the way out 43, and you'll begin to get a little speed up by the time you get to around 42 westbound. If you're going to Tennessee today, and a lot of people are for the weekend, you are clear all the way in. There's nothing here to hinder you once you get past exit 44, 43, mile marker 42. That's going to be your problem. Coming the other way, trying to come I-40 and go east on I-26, it is backed up from exit 44 all the way onto I-26 through Malfunction Junction. And it starts picking up once you get up on I-26. But it's going to be short-lived, because once you get to the river, you get down to a crawl, and it's going to be stop-and-go traffic from there all the way beyond the Asheville Airport today. And it is stop-and-go traffic. Let me just verify that I'm on the correct lane here. It gets hard to see. Yeah. Today, it's stop-and-go past the airport, past the new rest stop, past Highway 25, and that's where it begins to pick up a little bit. They're showing a wreck on the ramp there at 25 and I-26, but it doesn't tell me which one. So, but you are slow from Asheville all the way to Naples. this afternoon on the eastbound I-26. Westbound again, it begins slow at Highway 280, and you'll be slow all the way past 146 under the parkway. You'll continue to be slow till you get up to 191. Once you get there, you'll have just a brief intermission, and then you run into all that traffic. Either way you go, unless you go east on 40, there is nothing fast today. Long waits going west, long waits trying to go on to Tennessee and go up, long waits as well. It has affected the secondaries. Sardis Road is backed up from Inca Village all the way back to 191. It's also affecting 191. We've got bumper-to-bumper traffic on 191 from Clayton Road to the Arboretum in both directions. The intersection at 146 and 191 feeling the pressure, and a lot more traffic and delay there, probably a three-light wait to get through that intersection. We've also feeling the effects on Highway 25, traffic backed up all the way to Biltmore Forest, coming out of Asheville that way, down to Mills Gap. And then coming south on Mills Gap today, you've got some traffic on 25A down to Mills Gap, and then some coming north, but it's not as bad. It's not much worse than it normally is on 25A. 25 is the worst one today, so if you have a choice. Let's look and see. We have slow traffic, okay? So I-26 starting at the 25 connector. You are slow and slower all the way up past 64, all the way beyond that up to the area of the way station. You will have a bit of a reprieve, and you'll be almost up to speed until you get to the airport, and then you're going to be stop and go. Going the other direction, you will be, again, you're slow coming down to the Naples exit, then you've got a reprieve, and then you get back in the slow traffic, and you're going to be in slow traffic all the way down to the 25 connector today. So that's east and west. 26 is not healthy at all today. Yeah, a good way, good place to avoid. Say, well, how can I get around it? Well, that's the point. There really is no way around it. There are some secondary roads, but for the most part, you can't get around it because of the terrain here. So, you know, it's just the way it is. And so we've been complaining about it for a very long time, but it has not done too good. I've got a question about going to Spartanburg. I would get on as far down 26 as I could. Okay, so I would get on as far down the road as I could. Get on at Flat Rock, get on somewhere down through there, because 26 is slow from Hendersonville down to 25. So if I was going to Spartanburg, I would try to get on at Upward. Probably Upward's a good place. Get on at Upward, and you should be okay from there. Okay? All right. Well, let me, my mic was low. Thank you for letting me know that. I had my headset was not set right, and I was trusting my ears and not my eyes watching the gauges. Thank you for that reminder. All right. Well, let me go from the traffic. Greenville, believe it or not, is halfway decent today. But something's going on in below Greenville. If you're going to Atlanta, down in below Piedmont, there where 29 splits off going to Anderson, Williamston, right in there. From right past there, all the way down to where there at North Lake, Centerville, that side of I-85, southbound, is, well, I see what it is. There is a stop, there is a wreck. There's a wreck between Highway 178 and 76 on the interstate. And so it's right there near North Lake, and it's got the southbound I-85 backed up. And interestingly enough, to be a Friday afternoon, I-85 is decent. It's better today than it was Monday. And I can't explain that, but it is. One thing is, they're not getting these thunderstorms. That's one thing. We got a pretty major one, and I say we just got the little rain. But Henderson County, Buncombe County got a heavy torrential downpour, lots of lightning. It's still going. It is tracking down I-26, going toward Polk County. It is heading kind of in a southeasterly direction. They're saying east-southeast, about 118 degrees from north. It's running about 22 miles per hour. It has very little mesocyclone activity in it. There is a slight chance. No, there is no chance. There is no chance of hail. Okay, so it's not got hail in it. Yeah. Okay, so that's a good thing. But it is tracking through. It should clear Henderson County here within the next few minutes. But Polk County, you're going to be in it. Rutherford County, even McDowell, you're going to get all. There's a little band coming through, and you're going to get all of that coming up. And lots of lightning with that. We didn't hear at the studio. We just had a little bit of rain, so we did not get the worst of the storm. It kind of went to the upper side of us, and I'm just, that's okay. I talked to my mom, and she lives less than 5 miles from here, and she said it was coming a storm, but didn't hear at the studio, so all right. The airport's reporting 78 degrees. Well, that's not true. That was their 4 o'clock reading. Let's see if it'll update. Oh, yeah, that's more like it. 69. Yeah, that's a more accurate reading. It's 69 degrees, a thunderstorm and rain at 5 o'clock. We're at 73 degrees, so just a little warmer than they were because we didn't get the brunt of that storm. Weatherman says 40% chance tonight, decreasing to 20. 30% chance tomorrow, increasing to 60. 40% Saturday night, not much chance Sunday morning, but 40% Sunday afternoon, 30% early Sunday evening, clear Monday, Tuesday, clear into Wednesday. Wow, look at this. Clear Thursday, clear Friday. Well, 5 days in a row without rain in the forecast. Not going to promise that, but that's what it's. That is the forecast. And so, hey, may have to get the watering hoses back out. Yeah, it's been a good break from that, hasn't it? The 11th day of June is being sponsored by Ann Ricketts, and it's in thankfulness to God for her grandchildren, Zoe, Autumn, Andrew, Boo Boo, and in loving memory of her grandson, Noah. Happy birthday to Zoe and Boo Boo tomorrow. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Thank you. Thank you so much for Miss Ricketts. Miss Ann, thank you for standing with us here, making the day possible, broadcasting over the general budget today here at AM 720. The network budget today is being brought to you because, sponsored because God is. And we say amen to that. And thank you. And we appreciate those that stand with us. On a regular basis to make broadcasting possible here over AM 720, over FM 94.9, over WGCR.net, over WGCRpreaching.net, over WGCRmusic.net, and over WGCRvideo.net. We appreciate those that stand in support of all the channels and all the efforts. Thank you. God bless you, and we appreciate that from the deep of our heart. All right. Well, the question is, the motorcycle bit off at 5 o'clock, as we said it would. We gave it a little over 2 weeks. And the winning bid, I won't disclose who the bidder was, but the winning bid was $3,630. And we do appreciate everybody that participated in that. And it's a nice bike, and I think it's a good price. And so we do appreciate the Lord and appreciate the donor who made that possible. And I've had someone else say, well, what would happen, you know, what about if you, if we were to give this, or we were to give that, or we would give the other? Well, let me see if I can kind of tell you how it works, okay? If your gift, if it's a vehicle of whatever kind, whether it's an airplane, anything that has to be titled, and when I say titled or registered. So boats have to be registered if they're over 16 feet. Airplanes have to be registered. Anything that has to be registered. The rule is that we have to issue what's called a 1098C. And the way it works is simply this, and this is true for all nonprofits, whether they go by it or not, this is the law. If someone gives something, a vehicle, and they claim that it's worth more than $500, you can claim any vehicle less than $500 If you're going to have it crushed or whatever, that's fine. And you can claim that on your taxes without a 1098-C. If you believe it's worth more than $500, then and you're planning on taking more than that off on your taxes, then here's how it works. If the ministry that you give it to is going to keep it and use it for the nonprofit purpose, then you can take the book value. How do you get a book value? Well, it's up to your tax accountants, but basically you can use the Kelley Blue Book. You can use the NADA book. You can use, in these days, you can use similar vehicles that sold, that you can prove sold from eBay, from Truck Trader, from some of these other places. And if you can say, okay, here's the exact vehicle and it brought this much money, then that is, that can be used. You can also have the vehicle appraised. Most car dealers will appraise it for you. Some of them charge a fee, but you can get an appraisal from a car dealership and they'll tell you what it's worth. And then you can take that appraisal and you can use that against your taxes. Now, that is if the ministry keeps it or the ministry donates it for a benevolent cause. Let's say that someone were to donate a minivan and we knew of a single mom who needed a way to work and she had no vehicle. And we were to give her that vehicle free and clear as a donation to her because of her need to support her family. And there was a clear and present need. Then that would be a benevolent cause. And you would still get the full appraised book value. But if it is given to raise money with, in other words, like the motorcycle, it was given to sell. It's not something that we could use in the ministry, and so it was given to sell. So for that reason, the donor will get the amount that it brought. That's what we will indicate on the 1098-C that goes to the Internal Revenue Service. This vehicle was donated, it was sold, and this is how much it brought. And so that's the way it works, okay? And if anybody tells you different, it's because they're unaware of the changes to the laws. You can no longer say, well, I'll give you this car if you'll give me a $10,000 tax receipt. That's called tax fraud. It can be, you can end up in prison. You can end up with great penalties. Yeah, that's tax fraud. There's no such thing as that. Churches, nonprofits are never, ever allowed to appraise anything. Churches are not appraisers. As a matter of fact, the church cannot even have their hand on it, meaning that the church can't be involved in getting it appraised. The donor has to bear that expense, and the donor has to be the one who contacts the appraiser. You can't even have the church, can't even say, well, can you appraise this for us? Well, the guy thinks it's worth $10,000. Could you appraise it for $10,000? That's, again, tax fraud. And so that won't work. So it has to be an arm's length appraisal. It has to be. Now, if someone gave something substantial and the ministry wanted to reimburse the appraisal amount after the fact, you could do that, but you couldn't have anything to do with the appraisal. The church has to keep its hands off. Can't have anything to do with it. Can't hire the appraiser, can't talk to the appraiser, can't tell the appraiser anything about it. It's got to be an arm's length appraisal with no strings attached. Somebody said, well, how do you know so much about it? We spent almost 2 years somebody wanted to donate something, but they wanted their appraisal to come in way higher than what it actually would. And we couldn't receive the gift because we couldn't give them that appraisal. So, and I mean, we're talking about a big gift, but we couldn't do it because we couldn't get it to appraise where they wanted the appraisal at. And so for that reason, we couldn't do it. And I tried. I hired the best lawyers in Western North Carolina. I hired some of the most expensive lawyers there are in the whole region. The oldest law firm in the region, hired them, paid big money twice to sit down with them. They said, no way. No way. So my advice is comes under the column of lessons learned, meaning that I just didn't read that somewhere. I paid, this ministry paid good money. Good money. How much is good money? Try $500 an hour. Yeah, that's good money, isn't it? That's what it cost. $500 an hour to get that advice. And we spent several hours, I can assure you that. Would have been worth it had it come together, but it wouldn't. Couldn't make it. Couldn't get it to. Tried everything. So have some experience in that that aspect, okay? And so, but we're very grateful for the motorcycle and thankful for the donation. And anyone else got something that the Lord's put on your heart, then we'd appreciate that. Thank you. Appreciate it very, very much. All right. We got our water back on. To God be the glory. This morning, we had I was actually at the plumbing supply house, and the pump guys come in. There was no fittings to be had, inch and a quarter fittings anywhere. There was no pipe in Western North Carolina. We're going to have to put used pipe in, and the problem is we had busted some of the pipe getting it out. We ended up getting pipe, schedule 120 pipe, threaded bell ends out of Tennessee. And they just now got the water on a while ago. But we got it on. To God be the glory. But there is no inch and a quarter well pipe to be had in Western North Carolina. There are no galvanized, nor are there stainless steel fittings for inch and a quarter. Doesn't exist. Shortages. There is a latex shortage, which that's why you can't get sheetrock mud. And then there is a resin shortage, and resin is what PVC is made from. And so anything that's made along the line of resin, I think fiberglass products, I know the molded electrical boxes, I know any type of PVC pipe, all of that is in short supply. You can't get it at any price. And when you do get it, you pay a big price for it. Yeah, and so it is it's a big deal. And I just got word that one of the Lowe's stopped carrying Schedule 80 pipe. Can't even get it. So, oh yeah. I saw a Whirlpool appliance that had a dented door. And I was trying to buy a door, see if I could, because it was a nice appliance, just had a dented door in it. So I tried to buy a door. Whirlpool's not even selling parts right now, because all the parts are going to build the new units, and there's such a shortage, they won't even sell you parts right now. That's scary. I mean, that's scary. So, oh yeah, we've never been anything. I mean, this reminds you, of course it was worse, I know, but this reminds you of wartime. This reminds you back in the day, you know, of all the different shortages that the people of America had to endure because of the war effort. But that's not what this is. This is because that they say what's caused a COVID. Well, let's take that to a little different level, okay? Let's explain what that means. What it means is that we get our raw materials from other countries, and the other countries shut down for COVID and stop shipping, and we can't get the raw materials to make any products here in the United States. That's what it means. That's what it means. And we get a huge amount of stuff out of India, and they're shut down. We get a huge amount of stuff out of Brazil. They have been shut down. We get stuff from all over the world, and we are dependent now. We're dependent upon imports. This country is dependent upon the imports. We had the shipping container, the big container ship that got run aground in the Suez, or in the Suez Canal in Egypt. Well, that was a part of it. But before that thing ever happened, folks, there were over 30 container ships waiting to be unloaded off the southern coast of California in two of the largest ports on the West Coast. We counted them up, folks. There was almost a third of a million containers, 40 feet long, some of them 53 feet, waiting to be unloaded. And that's where your stuff's at, in those containers. So, just say it. And somebody's just mentioned, said, try buying, 1354 said, try buying a refrigerator when yours dies right now. One that would fit in our kitchen in stock. Yeah, that's the point. And it's a long wait. I've got family that's been waiting on a washer and dryer since February to get one. Yeah. Just heard the Secret Service have arrested a White House fence jumper just minutes ago, and Lafayette Park is now closed, and police are clearing pedestrians. Okay, well, about that. I'm sure it's one of those midnight tweeters for sure. I'm sure that's who it is. Yeah, I blame it on it. Yeah, well, we got to blame it on. It's Trump's fault, so blame it on Trump. Yeah, that's what this whole thing's Trump's fault. Everything's Trump's fault. Yeah, and so obviously everybody knows that. It's all Trump's fault. And no, actually, Trump was trying to get everybody back to work this time last year. Remember? People thought he had changed his gear. Well, what it was, he saw how that the liberals were using this and locking everything down and not opening it back. And did it save a lot of lives? As high as our death rates are in the United States it's hard to say. If you look at other countries that didn't lock down near as much as we did, and then if you look state to state, countries were not near as tight as North Carolina seemed to run around the same risk as those that were, you know, as tight as we were. So, you know, looking back, retrospect, you do it because you're told to. You do it because you're supposed to. You do it because the law says you're supposed to. Doesn't mean you like it. Doesn't mean you agree with it. You do it because we're law abiders. We're not law breakers. According to Scripture, that's what we do. The only time we break the law is when the law of man is diametrically opposed to the law of God. And then at that point, we have to make a very serious decision. Well, we appreciate folks deciding to listen this afternoon on the app up in Anchorage, Ann Arbor, Augusta, Brevard, Clarksville, Franklin, Gordon, Greenville, Greer, Hendersonville, Joplin, Kiev, Germany, Leicester, Los Angeles, Marion. They've told me twice how to say it, and I still can't remember. Menomonee. Does that sound right? Menomonee Falls. I'm going to say it that way. Menomonee. Mrs. Horton was from Wisconsin, and she said, yeah, say it this way. And I tried to remember. By the way, just mention this, Mrs. Horton, my secretary of 37 years, her brother-in-law in Florida died this morning. And so you remember them, if you will. Miami, Ottawa, Plymouth, Ridgeland, Weaverville, and West Chicago. Glad to have you all on board today. Also, let me mention this as well. Let me tell you and say that many of you know Landon Harris. He was here in Bible College last year. He married a girl down at Brother Rudy Smith's. His mother died somewhat unexpectedly in Nashville, Tennessee this morning, right outside Murfreesboro. And so please remember Landon in your prayers. His mother died unexpectedly. And so certainly ask you to remember this, okay? And we are asking God for grace in this situation. Today, Governor Roy Cooper announced that he has signed an executive order to extend the active state of emergency in North Carolina and a variety of measures currently in place to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic now until July the 30th. Okay? And all right. So anyway, and so it has, it is continuing. Also, did you see the bill that North Carolina passed today? Did you see that? This was yesterday. This is a story from the New York Post. North Carolina ban on Down syndrome abortions goes to the governor. The North Carolina senators approved a bill on Thursday to bar women from getting abortions on the basis of race, sex, or a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome. With the Senate's party line vote, the prohibition Republicans are seeking now heads to Democratic Governor Roy Cooper, who is likely to veto it, having rejected previous anti-abortion restrictions. Abortion rights groups say the GOP-led bill, which was universally opposed by Senate Democrats and supported by only 6 Democratic House lawmakers, would prevent women from having open conversations with their doctors and denying their constitutional right to an abortion. On the basis of sex selection are already prohibited in North Carolina. Abortions on the basis of sex selection are already prohibited in North Carolina. And this would expand and strengthen the existing law by requiring physicians to report with a signed confirmation that an abortion was not desired due to race, sex, or the likelihood of being born with Down syndrome. And so the chances of the bill not being vetoed is slim to none. Cooper is a very strong abortion advocate. It's interesting to me that we talk about all of the Americans with disabilities and all their rights, and yet a Down syndrome baby can be aborted because it has Down syndrome. Well, if a Down syndrome baby can be aborted for having Down syndrome, then what's to stop older adults from being terminated for having other illnesses or other problems? Of course, if the governor does not have to sign it, he can just leave it lay on his desk. And if he doesn't do anything within 10 days, it's going to become law. There's going to be a court fight about it, obviously. It's going to go to court. But it puts the governor in the crosshairs, because the liberals say that they're all about people with disabilities. But yet many, many unborn children, lives are terminated because of their disability and because they're going to be born with what the world sees as a disability. And so it's legal to kill them before they're born, but then they have special protections after they're born. Go figure. Doesn't quite make sense, does it? Yeah. And someone said, where in the Constitution does it give a woman a right to an abortion? It doesn't. But that's what they say, because the Supreme Court said, yeah, it was legal. But you know that's being challenged as well, right? You do know that there's a new case. Roe versus Wade, we'll see. Well, there's a whole lot of science that we didn't have in 1973. And those that presented it in 73 said it's like taking a mole off. It's like taking off, it's like a little tumor or something you have removed. It's like having your tonsils out. It's no big thing. and it's not alive, and so it's no big deal. But the fact of the matter is, we have now found out that it is very much alive, and the heart begins to beat very much earlier than we thought. And here's the point. To be clinically dead, to be pronounced clinically dead in America, it's when your heart is no longer beating and resuscitation efforts have stopped. It does not go by your breathing. Obviously, you won't live long if you're not breathing, but they do not time when your breathing stops. They time when your heart stops, and that constitutes death. If the heart stops beating constitutes death, then shouldn't the heart begin to beat constitute life? Well, the bottom line is the heart starts beating before women ever know they're expecting. We now know. And we can say, well, we didn't know that. Well, we now know. We know now. So we as a nation are now accountable for that truth and that information. Somebody said, you believe it's only life when the heart stops? No, I said that if what I said was if the heart stops beating constitutes death, then a heart starting beating ought to surely constitute life. You would agree with that? Okay, well, no, I believe conception. But I believe conception, possibly a little differently than others, but I believe that conception is where life begins. And so, and again, the whole definition of conception maybe be a little different than some. But my point is that we are killing the unborn. And we're doing it because we don't want little girls. Do you know the number one gender and race that's aborted in America? Anybody want to know? No, they don't want to know. Black Lives Matter don't want to know because they're pro-abortion. You know who dies in the abortion mill every day more than any other group in America? Little black girls. Little black girls are aborted at a higher rate than boys. Little black boys. Little black girls are at a higher rate than little white girls and little white boys. The highest abortion rate in America is women who are carrying little African American girls. And if that's not discrimination, ain't a cow in Texas. It is discrimination that we kill the children based upon. And if you'll ever notice where the abortion clinics are located, they're in walking distance of the projects, because that's where most of their traffic comes from. I'm serious. And they will argue and lie about it and say, oh, no, we're not targeting that demographic. Oh, yes, they are, too. Poor people in general, but more so than others, poor blacks. Way more so than others. And it's not right. Ain't none of it right. But to abort a child because it's black, or to abort a child because it's a girl, or to abort a child because it has a handicap, it's all wrong, friends. But if there's such a thing of being more wrong, it's a double wrong. It's a triple wrong. You see what I'm saying? A little black girl that's going to be born with Down syndrome, and they abort her based upon the fact she's a girl, based on the fact that she's black, and based on the fact that she's going to have Down syndrome, that's triple discrimination. They'll never admit it because they're a bunch of lying hypocrites. And you can tell them I told it. Lying hypocrites. They talk about the people of God being hypocrites. Friend, you've never seen such hypocrites, lying hypocrites, as the left-wing radicals. They and only when it fits their narrative, only when it's convenient. Their convictions don't go past their lips in life. It's only when it's convenient for them. Only when it fits what they're doing and what they want to make it come out to. May God help us, I'm telling you. Sickening. All right, let me change gears here a second if I can. And again, thank you for praying for our water situation. Got that under control. To God be the glory. We have got folks that are traveling, got people all over the place, and where I got people landing and taking off and traveling in all kind of ways. And so to God be the glory. I appreciate the gift yesterday, and it was a gift in honor of the indelible mark that Brother Roger Walton has made upon this world. And it was a $1,000 gift. And we sent that to the Philippines to feed because of the pandemic that they're going through right now. And we appreciate very much that gift and appreciate your love and concern. Thank you. And appreciate your honor, Brother Walton. I appreciate that very, very much. And he's getting weaker. Talked to him day before yesterday. I was there Sunday, and I talked to him day before yesterday. And a noticeable decrease in his voice. He is getting weaker. Thank you for praying. I'm going to try to figure out why it's so dark outside. Okay, I thought we were past the storm. Aha. Another one has developed right up under the parkway, and it is coming upon us. So it's coming down out of the forest. It is traveling southeast, and so we're fixing to get a deluge again here in just a minute. Yep, it's coming. And if it's not already, it'll be here in just a second. And the other one went to the east of us a little bit. This one's going to dead center us. Most of Transylvania is going to get this one. It was some rain in Haywood, but when it hit Pisgah, when it blew up. And so, yeah, it got that undercurrent coming under Pisgah, and so it got it to rolling. So it's coming at us hard and heavy, and there may be more behind this. Yeah, maybe more behind this. Okay? All right. We want to say thank you again for being here, and want to say thank you very much for praying. Ask you to pray for a gentleman. He's only 53, had 3 bypasses, and they cleaned out an artery down in Florida. And his mom and dad are friends and seasonal part of our congregation. And they had to go back to Florida because of his surgery. Remember that. And then Mrs. Horton's family in bereavement. Her brother-in-law passed away. She went to high school with him. And so I ask that you would remember them. Already raining at our FM. It's coming in pretty hard at the FM right now. A little further to the east than what we are here at the studio. From where I'm sitting, well, I guess it's pouring here too. Come now, I can see it. Yeah, it's coming pretty hard. All right. So, yeah. All right. Dark and Brevard. Yeah, I see that. Thank you. And 1098, appreciate you. Thank you very much. Appreciate you listening. And I agree. Yeah, I agree. But it's been a week, and I will say that. It has been a week. But you know what? They've all got to weather that way. You know, it used to be a crisis of the month. Yep, and then it was the crisis of the week. And here lately, it's been the crisis of the day, and then now we've been having the crisis of the morning and the crisis of the afternoon, and a couple of days this week, we've had the crisis of the evening. Yeah, we've had to have the law down here. Let me just send out a general beware. Lock up everything you got. The thieves are on the roll. In our neighborhood, over $5,000 stolen last night of value. Over $5,000 in value stole last night. Yeah, the meth heads are running wild. And they'll steal anything that's not glued down, friend. Get you some game cameras. Get you some everything. Nail your stuff down. Lock your place up. Oh, yeah. And they're getting bold. knowing there were people come in, not from us, but in our neighborhood. They had people come in last night knowing they were on camera. But they had on hoodies, they had on face coverings, gloves, and come in and walked out with stuff. Sure did. They sure did. And so be on the lookout. Thievery is at a high level right now. So be on the watch. Lock your stuff up. Lock up your mowers. Lock up everything. Don't leave your keys in your car. No, sir. Don't trust nothing right now. The dope, the users are in a big deal. And so, the druggies are really desperate right now. So lock up everything that you got. I'm serious. Fair warning. Lock it up. Lock it up. And somebody asked me about what I knew about the Mills River deal. I do know about that. I've been holding off saying anything about it. But I can just tell you this, that we believe Blue Lives Matter, and we are pro-police and pro-first responder, paramedic, pro-military, absolutely are, and have no tolerance for the vandals and the other folks that wish death threats and all these other things. Yeah, they're bold at night with a can of spray paint. Yeah, they're bold at night with a can of spray paint. But they're cowards by day. And so God help us. Whoever thought the sleepy little community of North Mills River would have that sort of thing happen? Whoever thought it? Not me. It's the last place I figured something like that would happen. Well, we've backed as far as our homes, folks. We can't back no further. You know what I'm saying? We can't back up no further. I'm backing no further than my house. So, yeah. Tread lightly. Yeah. We're going to have to be careful. We really are. These are perilous times. Yeah. Crooks don't like lighted area. They don't like light at all. Keep things well lit. If it means a little extra light bill, lots of light. Thieves don't like things that are inconvenient. They don't like to have to walk. They like to be able to drive right up to something. They don't like having to walk very far, especially in a lighted area. Cameras that are visible, that you can see them, motion lights, all of that works. But crooks, typically, they won't walk a long way carrying something heavy. Make it as inconvenient as you possibly can. Yeah. Make it as inconvenient as you can. And get your game camera and point it where it faces down your driveway. So that, or up your driveway, whichever, and hide it. So that when they come up, you get a picture of their face. And when they leave, you get a picture of their tag. And game cameras are not that expensive these days. Yep. That's how you do it. Because just seeing a man with a hoodie and a face mask does nothing. Does nothing. The guy that stole our Dodge, I think he was in court either yesterday or today. I haven't heard. I didn't hear what happened. But Okay, thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you so much for being on board. We look forward to seeing you first of the week. If you don't have a place of worship, come be with us. We'd like for you to be a part of our church family. You say, well, I don't have many family. Well, praise God, we're looking for some folks to adopt us and to be adopted, to become part of the family of God. And so if you don't know Christ, hey, you can be born into the family of God. If you don't have a place that you feel like you fit in, then hey, there I can recommend some good churches that will love on you and will help you to grow in grace and pray with you and bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, meet the need of every heart, save the soul that's nearest hell, touch the bereaved, and intervene in the midst. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Pray for a wayward son. Lord, please, I ask you to bring himself back to you. In Christ's name, amen. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Until we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.